When I was researching to put together this reflection this morning, I came across the story of an elderly gentleman who'd, during lockdown, been waiting for his pension to be paid before going out to buy essentials. And so when the pension came, he went out, went to his local shop to just buy some of the basic needs he had for the week. And when he got to the till, and the lady at the checkout gave him the amount, he found it was $170. But to his horror and embarrassment, when he looked in his wallet, he only had $140. So he picked up some of the things and went to put them back on the shelf, and you can imagine his embarrassment. And at that point, the lady, who was only 17, behind the till, reached into her pocket and took out the extra $30 and said, "Don't worry, I'll pay it for you." And later on, when she was asked why did she do that, she said, "Well, I see people coming in and they're only buying the essentials. And they're only buying the things that they need. And I wanted to help out and I wanted to give back." And the story reminds us that there are plenty of times in our life when we need help. And we all find ourselves in need of help at times on our journeys. And maybe now is a difficult time for you, or particularly difficult time for you. And what I'd like to do today is reflect on Psalm 21, which starts with the following wonderful words about help, which I'm sure many of you will already be familiar with. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." And I'm humbled and privileged today to be able to share some thoughts and reflections with you on this Psalm 121. So by way of background, the Book of Psalms is a collection of prayers and songs which the nation of Israel used as part of their worship life together. And the Psalms, which we know as Numbers 120 to 134, had a particular role in this worship life. If you look at them in your Bibles, you'll see that they are known as songs of ascent. And it is thought that they were used by the Jewish people during their annual pilgrimages to Jerusalem and Mount Zion. And if you read these Psalms, you'll see a number of pleas to God for protection from an attack and harm during those journeys to Jerusalem. And for this reason, our particular Psalm today, number 121, is known as the Traveller's Psalm or Song, and has been used by travellers through the ages as they set out on their journeys. It's a familiar psalm and one I'm sure you'll know well, and especially this first verse. And I believe it's as useful today for us in our different life journeys as it was for the Jewish nation at the time they were originally written and used. And why do I use this particular passage? When I spoke last summer about my own learnings during the pandemic and lockdown, I mentioned that one of the things that has struck me personally has been the opportunity to get to know God better and to understand better the relationship we have with him. And in my own search to know God better, there have been two psalms which I've found particularly useful to return to regularly. One is Psalm 23, and I loved Kaylin's use of it last week. And the other is this one, Psalm 121. Because I think Psalm 121 is a psalm we can regularly turn to on our journeys with God. It's short and relatively simple, but one that can continually teach us how to make that journey with God. And it's a constant reminder of where our help comes from. And as we'll see, I think it's both a very practical guide for us, but it also gives us the opportunity to deepen and better understand our relationship with God. What do I mean? There are a number of things I want to discuss today, but let's start with the first of three practical learnings. Number one, let's look again at the opening words and the ones we all probably know the best. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And I think there's a straightforward message for us here. Our journeys in life are not easy, and the Christian life was never intended to be a free pass. But God does not leave us alone to navigate our journey. Whenever we're struggling to take the next step or navigate through challenges, these first words of the psalm are a reminder to us. Stop and think, where does my help come from? Stop and think, where does my strength come from? And in the case of the psalm, the writer was encouraging the people to look up to the hills around Jerusalem as a symbolic way of focusing on God as they made their way to Jerusalem. And luckily here, we don't have to imagine hills, as we have plenty of hills and mountains to look up to as a way of making us stop and think. But if we stop and think and are still not convinced, the psalmist goes on in verse 2 to say that it is God who has made these hills, and it is God who has made heaven and earth. Why does he say this? I think the message is that if he can do that, just think what he can do for us. And this is not just a temporary assistant in times of trouble. Tim Keller tells of a Bible teacher who deeply impacted his life about this very matter. He wrote, "At a Christian camp in Colorado, a woman Bible teacher gave an illustration that changed my life. She said, 'If the distance between the earth and the sun, 92 million miles, was reduced to the thickness of a sheet of paper, then the distance between the earth and the nearest star would be a stack of paper 70 feet high. And the diameter of the galaxy would be a stack of paper 310 miles high. That's how big the galaxy is. And yet the galaxy is nothing but a speck of dust virtually in the whole universe. And the Bible says Jesus Christ holds this universe together with the word of his power, his little finger, as it were.' And then she asked the question, 'Is this the kind of person you ask into your life just to be your assistant?'" So this psalm also serves as a very simple way of putting order back into our journey as to who we should be looking to for our help. God is our creator and our source of help and strength. And unlike the Jews, as they travelled to Jerusalem, we also know the good news of Jesus' victory over death, and that we have a God who can do immeasurably more than all we ask. So our second practical learning, as we ponder where our help comes from, this psalm is also a reminder of the nature of the help that God gives us. In short, God is literally there to watch over every step we take. Verse 3 starts with the words, "He will not let your foot slip." Imagine the picture as the Israelites walk to Jerusalem step by step. The image is one of God watching and caring for every step, not just the difficult steps, not just the easy steps, every step. And I believe in the same way, God is interested in every step we take. Not just the difficult ones, not just the easy ones. In other words, there is no aspect of our lives in which God is not interested. And just as he watched over the Israelites as they travelled to Jerusalem, he's there watching over us. And just reflect on this further for a moment. We tend to like to rank things in terms of importance. What's most important to us? What is most valuable to us? What have we achieved? Is it the car we drive? Is it the job we get? Is it the house we live in? Is it what others think of us and what we wear? And the list goes on. But I don't think Psalm 121 sees it that way. And I'm convinced that the message to us is that God doesn't see it that way. We may look at our day and we might have a particular circumstance we're struggling with, or a habit or an illness or a challenge at work, and we commit those to God. And that is a right thing to do. But we also have plenty of other things going on in our lives, which we might think are mundane. But I'm reminded of two stories. First, the story of St. David, who was famous not for great deeds, but for being interested in what others regarded as the small things in life, what the world didn't consider as important. And secondly, I've also quoted Mother Teresa in the past, who said, "If you want to change the world, go home and love your family." And this psalm too suggests that nothing is mundane for God. We need to commit every step of our journey to him, and he will work through every step with us. He's interested in the difficult, the easy, the important, the mundane. That's the nature of the way he helps us. So we can trust him to act in every step we take. And they're not just the ones we're worried about, or the ones we think are important, and he will be there. And I think our third practical learning here is, just as he is interested in all our steps, it follows that his help is constant. He is always there. Let's look at verse 4. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Often when we buy something new, we have a helpline for when it goes wrong. And there's nothing quite like the moment when you phone the helpline to be told that it's only open for business hours. This is not the case with God. Verse 4 tells us that when we call on God, His is not a helpline that's only open during business hours. There is no time when God is not watching us. He watches over every step, day and night. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. And if we cry out in the depths of the night or in the chaos of our day or in the quiet of the early morning or late evening, He is there. He is there with us. This can be tough. There may be times when we think God is not listening to us, and even that He's not there, or He's closed for business. And even Jesus cried out, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" But we can know that God will not forsake us. These are the very times when this psalm is more important than ever. Hang on in and hang on to the words of verse 4. God is never closed for business. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. So let's remember these three practical messages of these verses. Number one, stop and think to take time to acknowledge where your help and strengths come from and who it is who is promising to help you. Number two, everything is important to God. Every step of our journey is important to God. And number three, God is always there. As ever with God, though, there is so much more to these beautiful psalms. And let's dwell on two last points as we finish our time together. This psalm, I believe, is also a challenge to us. As much as the question in verse 1 is, where does my help come from? It's also a challenge to ask, where does my help not come from? I believe these words are challenging us to make sure we are not putting our faith in things other than God, and to ask ourselves if we are looking elsewhere for our strength and help. For me, this is a tough question to ask, and I often don't like the answers. But the psalm challenges us to do this. And when I look at my own life, I'm reminded of my early days as a Christian when I would attend St. Helen's Church in the City of London, which at the time was led by the redoubtable Dick Lucas. And as some of you may know, Dick Lucas combined an imposing presence with a fearsome intellect. A formidable combination, and he was also a man who continued to lead his church despite St. Helens being destroyed by a bomb in the 1990s. He was not a man who held back and would often brutally tell his congregation, "Do not put your faith in large institutions," in the full knowledge that his congregation was packed with people who, like me, worked for large institutions in the City of London. And to this day, his words have stuck with me. But I don't think Dick Lucas was saying that the institutions were evil or inherently bad. But what he was saying is that we need to get the order right. And when I look at my life, I have to keep asking, am I putting my faith in the wrong place? Am I putting my faith in God? Or am I really putting my faith in my employer, in my job, in my pension, in my next bonus, in my option scheme? And the list goes on. And I have to admit, I've got it wrong at times, and often without realising it. And please don't get me wrong, many of these things I've mentioned are important. Work is important, earning a living is important, and many institutions provide an excellent and important service. However, God asks one important question that we always have to be ready to answer. And I think this was Dick Lucas's point and crucial learning from Psalm 121, as he used to recount in those sermons. And the question is, who is first in your life? Where does your help come from? Who or what is at the top of the hill in the first verse in your life? And the answer has to be God. And if we find one of these other things is at the top of that hill and is more important to us than God and our faith in Him, then I'm afraid the answer is to change it. And think of many of the mountains in Switzerland which have crosses at the top. And think, where is the cross in our life? Is it at the top? Is it halfway up? Is it at the bottom? or is it sometimes nowhere to be seen? The good news is that God's help is not conditional, and it is there for all things and for all times. But we do have to get the order right. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And if I've just depressed you, let me try to finish on a more uplifting note. I believe the message of Psalm 121 isn't just for us as individuals, but it's also for us as a church. We are at an important moment in the life of All Saints, and it's sad to see Clive and Yvonne leave. But Clive's message to us in these last months has been crystal clear. All Saints is God's church, and expect God to be at work and look to him for our help. Clive had many qualities, not least of which were the fundamental relevance of his faith, his honesty, his humility, but he was always clear to us. Our help comes from the Lord, and Jesus must be first. And for us at this time, the psalm sends us a message as a church loud and clear. God will watch over every step we make at all times, and he wants the best for all saints. But in everything we do here, God must be first. And this is an encouragement to us at this time and a reminder to continue to prayerfully ask God to lead us and be our source of help. And as with our individual lives, the message to us as a church is to put God first and look to God as our source of strength. Again, a challenging message, but a beautiful one. Our strength lies in him. Time to end, and I'll finish in a minute with a song which tries to sum up that our strength lies in God and not elsewhere. And as we have seen, this psalm is both a source of guidance and comfort and also a challenge. But let's rejoice that we have a God who cares, a God who watches over us, who guards and keeps us, and who loves us. He is ever present, and he loves the whole of our lives. And in the words of verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and evermore.